questions in your head. Say yes or no.
Three, two, one.
Marcus.
Mork. One more Marcus. It's not the
last Marcus episode. Of the season.
Last Marcus of the season.
Last Final Marcus.
Uh-huh.
That's how it be. We're running out of Marcuses here. Inflation's a killer.
I know, this economy. You ever think about how, like, in this economy, it's like a phrase that in the American economy will always be relevant ever it's since great. Reagan got elected?
Even when the economy somehow gets good again, quote-unquote, question mark. Some other punctuation points going on in there, I don't know. If that ever happens again, if we ever look at the line go back up, we'll still be saying in this economy, like, I don't think we'll believe it.
Yeah.
I think they'll be like, oh, those economists are lying. And they probably are. Economy is basically fake.
Yeah, they have lied before, obviously. How many economic crises have we lived through?
Capitalism is super stable. I don't know. It only collapses every 8 years. Like,
at an accelerating pace.
It's normal.
Normal for economies.
We get a little too excited with the collapsing of the economy. You know, last time we were supposed to go a little slow with it, this time we're just kind of like, what if it just never got better?
What if it just never got better?
Danganronpa. Ultra Despair Reprise, going through the Danganronpa series one murder at a time, one murder at a time.
It's not so easy, is it?
Oh,
it's
shit, we gotta do the Lord of the Rings podcast where we go through the series one Mordor at a time. We'll be so good at this.
Lord of the Rings podcast where we play the Golem video game.
Oh my God.
And comment on each chapter.
I hate it.
I loves it. I love bad video games. I'm sorry. I think it's great when video games come out and they're just like, what the fuck were they thinking the whole time? Why? Nobody looked at Gollum and were like, I'm so excited for his action-packed adventures and touching exploration of mental illness in goblins.
Stealth adventure and mental illness with goblins. And did you see that screenshot going around? It's like, orcs can't be hurt with a helmet on. It's like, what are we doing?
Oh, is that like when he was in his mind palace?
Yeah.
Kire, you're not saying that you want to see his five iconic gestures and sayings?
No, I don't want to see his five iconic gestures and sayings. And I don't want to pay
three or four of those iconic gestures and sayings. You telling me we get all five of them?
All
God, what a what a fucking, like, idiocy of spoils.
Much like Danganronpa, because this is Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. I am the ultimate host, Kyrie.
I'm the ultimate fangirl, Jennifer.
I haven't slept in 36 hours, I'm Jackie.
Girl, you need to go sleep some point.
It's fine.
I'm
chilling.
Because we are talking about the final four episodes of Danganronpa 3, the anime. So that's the last two. There's a despair side. And they call it a hope arc, but is one episode
really
an arc?
Did not make me very hopeful. 0 out of 10.
It had some issues. I still... I like off the bat, like we finished Danganronpa 3, the anime. What were like general thoughts on it, on its ending or whatever? What comes to mind? Jen, go ahead.
The anime was kind of worse than I remembered. Like, the low points are still really low. And then I was a lot more charitable towards the ending, like, back when I initially watched it. But, just seeing it now, the way that it wraps things up at the very last minute with some incredibly thrown together, ideas, it's like, you really didn't have to do this because this is, like, the last story within this, specific Danganronpa setting, but okay.
I think that's just a review of all of Danganronpa.
yeah, Danganronpa likes to do that.
My entire read on this is just like, so if you were to watch like the first episode of the anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like you were to be sat down by somebody who watched the whole show and you're like, okay, well, what happened? And they just go through a list of the plot beats, you know, and then they just kind of, and then at the end they just go, you know, and then it ends like Danganronpa. You will know exactly what happens and you will have saved yourself like 6 hours. Probably way more than 6 hours.
Closer to 12 with like...
Jesus, 12 hours, God.
It's a two-core show.
It's a two-core, so I don't know how that math works out.
Well, it's 20 minutes an episode, so it's actually a little less than, it's less than 12 hours total runtime.
Yeah.
It's third 20... of an hour an episode, 12 episode, so, you know, you get 20, four I full think it's hours like... out of it.
24
four full hours after each core.
Yeah,
it's 4 hours a core, it's 8 hour show.
Yeah. I mean, so I didn't hate it. I still think it has like some pretty good high points. Its ending is a little weak, but I don't know, I still largely enjoyed it. But Jackie, you're about to say something?
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a way better way to spend 8 hours, and you could do it right here on Scanline Media. You could listen to the entire Embers of War podcast. It's great. It's good. I just listened to the whole thing. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder how they're doing, and I just plowed right through the whole thing. And I gotta say, pretty good.
Yeah,
Kiri, you did a good job.
Thank you.
You did good.
Thank you. I work really hard on this. Work hard on it.
It's like sitting down for an anime movie each episode. It's like kind of like, you know, if you get like a craving for like an anime you could put on and like just have and just be like listening to and not have to like worry about, oh, was this animated well or whatever.
Unlike some parts of this show.
Our animation sucks so bad. We got like a they gave me $8 and like an instant box of mac and cheese. I don't even eat mac and cheese.
You do get to hear me forget to introduce myself throughout the episodes, so
mm-hmm.
There's it's that fine. Production.
I never introduced myself correctly here.
It's fine.
We're a little loosey-goosey here.
A little bit, little bit.
My brother and me, we are not.
We're better than that.
Yeah, we are definitely better.
I will meet
better.
Travis McElroy in the pit. I got nothing against him, but I will meet him in the pit. I'll just be like, hi, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Real weird that we both ended up in the pit here, but like, them's the breaks, huh?
Yeah, anyway.
Speaking of pits, Jed, you've been just down.
You come to
this
pit often?
These four episodes have some of my favorite and least favorite episodes in the whole
Where are some of your high points? I want to hear that.
Okay, so the first high point is going to sound a little psychotic.
Okay.
But,
okay.
It's fun when, like, they figure out what's happening with the whole death game where, like, people have to watch the brainwashing video end up stabbing themselves, and then Naegi's way of proving that is like, okay, just tie me up here, it'll be fine. Just put me in right in front of one of the screens, and you just get to watch him go sicko mode for a little bit as he tries to stab himself with a knife.
It does kind of rock. I love that he goes Odysseus in the Sirens mode, and he's like, surely, like, yeah, put me in, boys. Nothing bad could possibly happen. And then every person in his life is just like, you should kill yourself now.
That's now. That is like one of my favorite sequences in the show, is because like what happens is Makoto like parks himself in front of a monitor, gets tied up, and is like, okay, I think we figured out this death game. It's in like the big reveal is that whoever like is closest proximity to a monitor gets shown that video and they're given a knife, right? And what happens is you get this look into what Makoto's like kind of nightmares look like. And it's this really cool sequence where he's standing in this massive like blue and black inky void as like literally every person he's seen die rises from it and tells him like, you failed us. Why did you survive? Like for a series as goofy as Danganronpa, it is kind of nice to like have this moment that acknowledges it's like, no, these people were his friends and they're all fucking dead, and he has a ton of survivor's guilt about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
sorry, you can go.
And he's basically broken out of it by Sakakura, who is now missing a hand, as he just pushes him to the ground. Is like, no, you're not doing this. You've survived too much, and I'm not letting someone like you die in this pathetic way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was still a little melodramatic. But I saw Sayaka Maizono there, and I'm like, I recognize her from Los Angeles. The fucking 40-foot statue. The 40-foot paper statue set up by the fucking son of the guy who wrote Grease.
I love that video because it just keeps escalating. Because you think...
this man just...
Papered his entire house and made a legal church to Sayaka Maizono. Shoutouts to Daragon on Twitter, who just like quote tweeted that, and someone's like, how can someone be this obsessed? And he just quote tweeted going like, real ones know.
Real ones know. It's just true.
It's just true.
Yeah. Like, in terms of rich sons of Hollywood screenwriters, there are much worse ways to spend your wealth, I guess.
Oh my god, there are way weirder and way worse dudes out there. Like, yeah, relatively obsessing over Sayaka Maizono, relatively minor, like not that bad. There are worse, more deranged characters you could obsess over too. Like, I'd be worried if it was like
the chef guy.
If it was the chef guy, if he was Teru. Oh, I fucking love Teru. Oh, he's so good, man. He's my favorite character. I just got this big boy. Okay, actually, no, never mind. Teru would be insanely funny, because you get the same 40-foot paper statue, but you cover it in flour and dug it into a 40-foot cauldron of boiling oil. Like, I would pay to see that. That would be real good.
That'd be
deep-fried
real good.
Deep-fried giant Teru.
Someone who has an entire shrine to the number of ways they wish this fictional character would die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would actually be pretty mentally ill, but it'd be funny.
Yeah.
See, society gives you a pass if you're a little silly with it. It's a known fact.
Known fact. But yeah, like Sakakura, like I love that, like his like final appearance of like how he sliced off his own hand to like, man, fuck this bangle shit, fuck this whole thing, and just. Like, that's a cool moment for him. And I have to admit, like, the moment of, because like he is dying, because he's lost a lot of blood, and he wasn't in the Boy Scouts, so he never learned how to do a tourniquet. And just, I like this moment that they have. Like, there's this interaction that he has with Makoto where Makoto says something along the lines of how Munakata, it's like, oh, he just thought you were a member of Despair. It's fine. It's actually okay. And Sakakura just kind of like shrugs it off and goes, yeah, yeah, but he already rejected me. Man, I'm not here for this.
What are you doing? Let's end this game. If we destroy all the monitors, that should do it.
You got any idea how many of those things there are?
But...
Don't let me stop you. Just don't expect me to help either. True story. I wanted you to die. I'd have gladly done it myself. See, I'm not a man who can forgive and forget. I hated you. No, from the moment you walked out of Hope's Peak High School alive, I loathed you. Despised you. So, I'm not gonna lie. When Munakata told you to kill yourself, I thought it's about damn time.
But why? I don't...
Because you defeated Junko in Oshima. Yes, right. Bitch played me like a fiddle. I knew she was up to something and I kept my mouth shut. I had one job and I botched it. This is the result. It's all on me. I couldn't stop everyone dying. I couldn't kill you for Munakata. And in the end, he threw me away. Like an old pair of boots.
He was wrong. It's the game. The man was fooled into believing you'd gone over to the enemy.
No kidding.
Like,
God, that was too real.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he... It's like, oh, this person who I, like, let's be frank, loved, just could get to this point. He was like, man, fuck this. But he still, like, cares about him enough to, like, do the big heroic sacrifice to, like, trip the breakers and, like, you know, be able to end the game.
Yeah, he was real for that. He was real. You gotta respect the realness.
Yeah. And it just, you know, Junichi Sawabe, like, just pull, like, again, just, he's a phenomenal voice actor in, like, almost any context, but he dials into this, like, the way he just does this, like, single-pained laugh, right? Or a single-pained, like, yeah, when he hears about, like, oh, Munakata may have turned a new leaf, it was like, man, it still hurts, and it's like, that's... I did not expect that. I teared up a little at that moment. It was like, man, it's good melodrama.
Yeah, and it's yeah. Also real rough when Munakata, like, finally realizes what has been going on with his best friend this whole time, and, like, he's too late to actually do anything about it by the time he finally gets over to Sakakura, and all he can basically do is shed tears over how he never really understood his friend the way that he was supposed to.
Yeah, like, the line is, like, I'm always too late. Like, man, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's good. It was good. I, like, good-ass scene. Danganronpa does melodrama well, and if the whole episode had that kind of tonal through line, like, if it had the bone to stick the meat around, then we'd be onto something. But let me talk about the ending of Danganronpa.
Yeah, because, like, we already have, like, a pretty good ending in some ways, and then Danganronpa will go Danganronpa on us.
Danganronpa is just like, you remember the warriors? You remember the guys from Danganronpa 2? They are here now, and they're kicking ass, and they're saving the day. We love them.
Yeah.
Well, they're the Oomphies.
I still like that
They were
moment.
Here all along being Oomphies, and you're like, alright, I guess.
I enjoyed that ending of, like, the idea of, like, oh, justice once, everybody lives, but I feel like it would have worked way better if it was, like, instead of a protracted action scene of, like, the like the gang from 2, like doing stuff to protect Makoto and the others. Like, I think it would have been really effective if during, like, if we had to keep all things the same, right, of Mitarai uploading the hypnosis video or whatever to all the world's screens all at once, which is a power I didn't realize the Future Foundation had until this very moment.
It's so silly. They say they're just going to broadcast
Bluetooth on. Kiri, I don't know what to tell you. They left Bluetooth on. It's unsecure. We've been telling you that for so long.
This is why they need to bring back the headphone jack.
Yeah, like, if nobody can hack the headphone jack without your consent, because you got to be physically there to plug it in.
Exactly.
Your Bluetooth, that's a security vulnerability that's no good. Somebody can just send you the despair message and it's going to make you kill yourself. You can't have that. That's why we need the headphone jack.
Can't have that. But all things being the same, if Meteor Eye is in the middle of that upload, in the middle of this action that will, like, fuck over the world, like, again, right, and it was just Hajime there to kind of talk him down, and then the rest of the 2 gang emerged, like, I think that would be effective.
That technically is what happened. You just get this whole action scene earlier with Hinata just stepping on a boulder that kills a bunch of people.
Sure, you mean Komaeda, but what I'm talking about is, like, from the audience perspective, it should be, like, you know, the reveal to the audience, like, the final, like, the prestige to the audience should be the cast from 2, like, coming in one by one, saying, like, we're gonna help you, Mitarai. Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, yeah, that like... would be...
Yeah. That would have more of, like... That would... So, like, Danganronpa at its... Oh, my God, my voice is coming across, like, super whiny. Danganronpa, at its weakest, has no control over its tone. It can't manage a consistent through line at all. And this is kind of like what I'm talking about. Like, it doesn't have that. There's no.
Go ahead, Jen. Jen seems to have a point. Oh,
I agree with you, Jackie, because, like, during that scene, that heartfelt scene, Teratira has to pipe in with being like, my wiener wants you to join up with us. And,
It's like, great. Thank you, Teratira.
Thanks, Teratira.
They have to cut back to Miyota being like, oh, that's gross. And then Nurse Lady is like, I don't mind.
Oh, my God. It's like, everybody, do your character bit.
Like,
the only way to defuse this bomb is if we all act annoying.
I think you could, like, save that for the, like, they're on the boat, right?
You know? Yeah, like, say that for the denouement, not the climax.
Exactly. And, I mean, as much as it, like, I liked, you know, like, the parts of the action scene, I mostly just liked it when Gundam showed up and just, like, got a hawk to land on his head. I was like, okay, that's cool, but I think it brings down the story because, like, that reveal that the 2 cast, like, managed to survive should be the big, like, bombshell moment.
Yeah, though also, like, without them, it would just be entirely Byakuya's black suit CIA folks saving the day.
Well, I mean, you don't even really need that scene, I don't think. I think what I'm saying is, like, that chunk, that middle chunk of the final episode could just kind of be excised and just focus on more character stuff, right? Because the big idea of the ending should be, like, the heroes talking down Mitarai. Like, that should just be, like, okay, there's a half hour for this thing to upload or whatever. And they should focus on, like, because when Danganronpa is working, it's a really good character drama, and they should have focused on, like, just that tense sort of attempting to diffuse the situation.
Yeah. You also have, like, the way that it ultimately hinges on, like, Kazuo Tengen, A, being, like, the real mastermind behind this whole series of events, and B, all of it be existing to set up this one person to release a video he may or may not have divulged that he has to the principal. It's like, okay, it's... I feel like Junko's plans were a lot better executed than this one.
Yeah.
I think
Zuko kind of had some infrastructure behind her. She kind of knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the antagonists in this season are a bit more, or in this like series, have been a little more scrappy, and I kind of like that. But on top of being scrappy, they end up being kind of like dumb, you know?
Yeah, like we really like
Tengen's kind of a dumb asshole.
Yeah. Like, as cool as he was, like, when he was fighting Munakata, he is also kind of a dumb... Like, if the Future Foundation is just full of dumb assholes, like, which they are, it's like, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of the point that they're a bunch of dumb assholes, but, like, no, the brainwashing is good this time, is like... Yeah, alright, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck these guys. And... Yeah, like, I just remember some of our favorite moments from this season was like these, like, was like Munakata being like, it was Munakata's ideology, like smacking himself in the face with it, right? Like that sort of like problem that he had that he couldn't get over, that he eventually had this, like, he had this big journey to kind of get over it, because Munakata in many ways was kind of like the main character of the show.
He was a little, I'd say, Naegi still like the main character, but yeah,
you know, he was a deuteragonist. It worked.
Yeah, like go ahead.
I was gonna segue to something else, but you should probably speak before me.
My thought on that was just, I really enjoyed the ideological conflict between Makoto and Munakata, and I felt that we got a really good resolution to that a couple episodes ago. And I did think it was, like, kind of neat, like, at the very end, in which, like, they're both talking about, like, these burdens they have to shoulder. And it's like, they finally, you know, they finally understood each other. And it's like, that's Danganronpa working for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, speaking of parts about this finale that worked, while I did say the antagonists were kind of all dumb assholes, I think Ryota actually works indirectly, because I kind of love how Zuko replicates her violence in these kind of indirect ways, but, like, never really as she intends. Like, she fails to recreate, like, herself. Like, it's very clear that, like, Zuko wanted to, you know, kind of just fill the world with Junkos. Mm-hmm, and nobody wanted that, even the people that, like, Junko actually kind of were like, you know, you'll be my successors. Nobody wanted that, right? And so nobody ended up doing that. So, like, it's been, you know, a full game and then two cores of anime and a finale the finale was episode 24, so two cores of anime and a full game since Junko died. And she's still dead. She's still meaningfully dead.
I did like that little moment where, like, both Junko and
Chisa
are, like, in the, like, afterlife theater, and she's, like, giving all this great summation, and it was just sort of, and again, Junko's like, well, that shit don't matter, I'm dead.
Yeah, like, that shit don't matter, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, like, kind of neat, like, you have the bit, like, that's the thing that, like, worked for me, was, like, you have Chisa is doing this, like, no, this is where hope begins, and it's like, okay, that's kind of cool, but then it's just, you know, Junko going, like, I'm still dead, not much is gonna change. Junko is just, as always, just, like, a fucking delight. Like...
Yeah, she's a fun character.
I do, however, wish that, so what, there's two sides to this. One, we needed to see less of the tragedy, because again, we've discussed this before, this idea of, like, something living, like, how something exists in your mind is going to be more powerful than what is shown on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I would have liked it if we ever saw the one cast interacting with each other normally during the season. Because, like, that I would love it if there were more moments of Junko trying to, like, fuck with Makoto, and his luck, the way it works, like, frustrates her.
You do get that one great scene where Junko tries to just throw a wrench right at Makoto's head to kill him, and then he conveniently just slips on a piece of paper and falls over.
Yeah, but I wanted more of that.
I would have liked to see more interaction from the first game's characters in general, but also, like, I feel like that happening once and Junko just thinking about doing it more and just being like, nah, it's more interesting if I keep him alive, just because I need that despair to, like, I need the despair of my despair plans falling apart because of him just to be a factor. Like, I felt like that was a good use of that.
Yeah.
I did love...
What else did you love, Jen?
I did love that scene of Celeste just sitting in the corner sipping tea as everyone else was working to barricade the school.
Sakura, like, fucking, like, turning the nut with her one hand.
Yeah.
The giant, or the bolt, I should say. The giant fucking cartoon bolt.
The bolts be big. I don't know what to tell you.
The bolts are so big.
Oh, they asked us to forge just a really big bolt, and who am I to say no?
Yeah, I think my ultimate problem was, like, with these last four episodes is that other than the first immediate one we have where we get the reveal of how the characters are dying, and we get those really good moments with Sakakura, like, most of the other episodes felt like they were really dragging out what could have been done within the span of an episode or two.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you have this moment where, like, Mitarai, his Inji code doesn't, like, affect him anymore, and it turns out he had this hypnosis video that he keeps on his phone, and then he can broadcast it to all the soldiers that have, like, the screens and their goggles. And it just, like, it felt like you could have resolved that with, like, a single, like, hypnosis video, a couple scenes of him sneaking around, and then him getting to the upload bay. Like,
yeah, like, he didn't have to assume direct control of, like,
assuming direct all the control. Troops.
He kind of did, like.
He kind of did, yeah.
What a little weirdo.
I did love watching Munakata, like, pick up two swords, one white, yeah, the other black, and just go apeshit. immediately after he...
Mall ninja.
Immediately after he runs into Asahina and, like, pulls her off Naegi, he's very much in a, like, soft-spoken enforcer mode where he's like, okay, what's the problem? What do I need to do? And then he just goes for it.
He buries the light.
He does it. God.
You know,
if they didn't figure out a way how to stretch, like, N episodes worth of ending into, well, maybe an episode and a half's worth of ending into, like, four episodes, like an hour and 20 minutes. If they figured out a way to, like, just kind of work with the runtime, like, or, well, to work, if the Danganronpa guys are gonna shit when someone shows them that quote about brevity being the soul of wit, like, they're gonna see this shit, it's gonna flip their lives around. They're gonna be like, oh my god, this whole time I thought I just had to say as much shit as possible. And it's like, no.
And drag out everything. You can just
say the good parts.
Yeah.
You could just write the good parts. It's fine.
Yeah. And then you would have had, like, another, you know, episode and a half that you could have packed with more, like, character stuff or epilogue stuff. Because the moment they stop the video upload, everything has to, like the show's like, okay, guys, we gotta get fucking moving. We gotta do this thing. And it kind of takes...
Where everyone is now. Where are they now? Hey, you, where are you now?
Where are you now? The fucking unique ending song.
The Denny's?
The fucking unique ending song is playing. We gotta go.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
You, where are you now? I just got my oil change. Yeah, go. Good, excellent. You... I have no clue. Very inspiring. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. Mudokata and Makoto have this like speech about bearing the burden of things. Okay, great. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Makoto, say this is something poetic about the clouds.
the clouds are okay, excellent. Kirigiri, you're alive now. She's just like a corpse on the floor, like, whoa!
Oh, don't worry, Mikan, you gotta show us.
I knew they were not gonna commit to the bit. I knew they were not gonna commit to it.
You called Daruma that one.
Does
yeah.
not have the nuts. They do not have the balls because to go. Kirigiri die and stay dead. They have, like, and part of me was like, I don't really even want that. But like, why do the thing where you're like, we're gonna do something that's gonna make that's like. We do this really bold step that may work out or may not work out, or haha, fuck you for thinking we had a spine. And it's like, who cares then? Like, why should I ever trust you? Nobody stays dead in Danganronpa. How does nobody stay dead in Danganronpa? Like, that's like the one thing a killing game is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it never works.
Yeah, the reveal, like, during the credits that, like, oh yeah, Kirigiri had taken this specific medicine that puts you into a coma beforehand, and, like, off-screen, our ultimate nurse here just found
the antecedent, and I applied it to her, teehee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, fine, okay, like, if there was precedent, if there was some way of foreshadowing... That, like, yeah, no, Mikan is going to go in there with the intent to save Kirigiri, and, like, we don't need to see it, because we know she'll succeed.
Yeah,
if it was set up in such a way, but, like, and it's like, no, she just ran into Kirigiri and was like, oh, I can save her, and then did it.
Like, yeah, even though it's frustrating because it completely undermines the speech that literally happens in the previous scene, like, while the credits music is playing, of, like, talking about bearing that burden and, like, remembering those who have fallen and then, like, holding on to that so that you can keep walking forward. And it's like, oh no, Makoto, like, the probably the most important person to him, like, is just still around. And it's like, that completely undermines your entire point, game. Series.
Yeah, like, Kadaka. How are you going to have your characters be like, you have to accept death and move on. When, like, when you kill a character off and you're like, wait, no, she's fine, we got to her just in time. She's normal now with no ill effects.
And hey, you know what the best idea, like, the sign that everyone has learned their lesson here? Like, let's rebuild Hope's Peak Academy.
Oh my god.
We'll do it right this time, though.
Oh my god, I fucking hated that.
I remember that we got into it with Hazel about that. We got into an actual argument on the server. Because, like, I get Hazel's point that, like, you know, well, it's not the same thing. But it's still a symbol of, like, it's rebuilding it is kind of just a symbol of repeating the same mistakes, even if it's not intended as such, and even if, like, the characters are like, we're gonna make a Hope's Peak without the problems inherent to Hope's Peak. It's like, you don't even know what the problems are.
Make,
like,
a new school.
You still refer to yourselves as the ultimate whatevers. Like, you're still out here replicating the ideology, like, recreating the ideology that, like, the only people who matter are the ones with inborn talent. Like, fuck
yeah,
you.
It goes against the entire thesis of Danganronpa 2, where it's specifically about how for-profit school is a fucking nightmare that, like, based on someone's wealth or importance or just a straight-up luck of the draw determines their lot in life for the rest of their lives.
What are Byakuya and fucking Sonya's powers? They're just, like, rich and a government figure. Like, you're the ultimate, like, silver spoon, get out of here. Like,
your silver spoon is the fucking shiniest.
It's like, oh man, great, excellent. So like, your superpower is that you're rich, but like, not even like a Batman way. You're just like a normal rich guy. And like,
it would be you can't one thing. God.
Yeah, you can't simultaneously be that and then like, you can't have a character who is that and then be like, oh yeah, you know. And then we rebuilt the Hope's Peak High School and everything was good and fine again. It's like, no, the point is that this guy sucks. I thought the point was that these guys suck. There's that, like, this guy's, like, position in life is, like, the worst thing that could possibly happen to him as a person.
It would be one thing if it's, like, they take down the sign and they build, like, a new thing from the skeleton of that school to be like, no, this is, like, for the recovery from despair, or like, we are going to dedicate this facility to something or someone, and like, find a way to like move past, you know, like the Frank, like, horrible shit that Hope's Peak as an institution has like inflicted on the world. But it's like, no, we're going to rebuild it, and now Naegi is the fucking principal, and it's like, fuck, dude, you learn nothing.
Yeah,
They got the fucking Age of Shattering ending. They fucking... They ascended the title of Elden... They ascended the fucking Elden Lord title. Makoto became Elden Lord and he was like, all I got was this t-shirt, like...
All I got is this, like, new suit. And we're gonna put Kirigiri in a new suit so we can sell another figure.
Yeah. And Kirigiri's suit, real nice looking. Fair. But, yeah.
It's a good suit. Yeah, like, yeah, to be fair.
If I was a figures person, oh man, I would get that figure. She does look good in that suit.
But if it was, like, instead of Hope's Peak, it's, like from, you know, an institution for the restoration of, like, or something. I don't know. Like, we're going,
you
know, to...
They could have just added one word. Hope's Peak Memorial.
Yeah.
And there you go. Like, there you go. It's not Hope's Peak. It is a acknowledgement that Hope's Peak is dead, but that something new can come from it in the same... And, you know, bearing the same face, but in a different form. Like... Mm-hmm. You know, change slightly to accommodate its fault, to like compensate for its faults, and it's like, okay, there we go, perfect. They learned their lesson, and they're gonna do it right this time. But Danganronpa is committed to not doing that.
Yeah. The one half of this that got the good ending is the Remnants of Despair, who, like, released this hype video that was like, yeah, it was us, come get us, bitches, and then they
fucked off to Jabberwock Island or whatever.
I imagine they're just gonna keep, they're going on this journey where they're forever sailing around and getting into hijinks, and that's like, okay, that's fun.
I think
the adventure continues, like,
yeah. A lot of fan works like to say that they, like, set up a base on actual Jabberwock, but, like, you know, it's cordoned off, so it's, like, no one can get to them or something.
Yeah, the popular fan thing is doing either that or that, like, they're constantly on the move and, like, helping other areas, basically.
I like to believe that nobody actually believed they were evil. They were just like, yeah, like, guys, they're just... bunch of dumb kids, whatever. So they go to Jabberwock Island and nobody pursues them, and then they get personally offended by it and they come back. They're like, come on, guys, Jesus,
we did our fucking wrestling hype video.
Do you fucking know how hard that was to do without the ultimate video editor? We had our guy fucking around in Windows Movie Maker. So hard. That's a program from 2007.
By the way, what the fuck is up with Hinata's eyes? Like, they're constantly changing. It's either he has, like, one normal eye and one red eye, or the eyes are just, like, both green, and, like, there's no consistency when that's happening in scenes.
No, it's because he's got the Izuru Kamakura.
Yeah, that's when Izuru Kamakura is, like, when he's tapping into that, like, when he's tapping into that side of himself, his left eye turns red.
Okay.
That's like,
that's how it works.
Yes, that's okay. I like to think that's pretty clear, but I don't know.
Maybe it's an other side picture.
Makes sense. It's very corny.
Mm-hmm.
Danganronpa is a very corny series.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Danganronpa is very corny.
Yeah, I do like the idea that both Kamakura and Hinata are in the same body together and, like, just dealing with those shared emotions.
They just gotta deal with each other. Kamakura is just, like, the most miserable man.
He wants to eat grease off the oven.
He just wants to eat grease off the oven.
And Hinata has to constantly be like...
This is where Kamakura's misery is increasing. Oh my god, I dropped my water bottle.
Slapping his own hands, being like, no, Kamakura, no, we're not doing this.
No grease. No grease. Grease. Little man.
But I did like this, this recontextualization of why Izuru Kamakura went into, like, the Neo World program in 2 to begin with. Like, is this sort of, you know, all right, fine, I'm going to test out your theory, Junko. Like, I felt at it's sloppy and it's like a little mishandled, but I think that's like a cooler concept for 2, like as a thing, like as a retcon.
Yeah, I think it was good. I think the idea of Kamakura intentionally inflicting that upon himself and then making him, like, I like when antagonists are hoisted by their own, like, petard, when they do the hang, when they do the, like, you know, yeah, whatever, I'm gonna fucking walk right into this trap to feel something, and then it's like, oh no, I'm feeling something.
Oh no, Jen, go
oh,
ahead.
Oh shit, yeah. I'm feeling it.
The only part of that I wasn't a huge fan of, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna erase my own memory too. Seems like it'll be more fun that way.
Oh, that rocks, like, though. Erasing your own memory is just like, all the cool kids are doing it.
I interpreted that as sort of like, I'm gonna seal off the Kamakura part of myself. But I don't, like... I was taking notes during that scene. I don't know if I was paying 100% attention.
Yeah. I did have a question for Jackie. Are you familiar with the dub version of, like, the ending?
No.
Okay, because...
Hold on, let me pull it up.
Because, basically, the dub cast got a lot of leverage to just, freestyle their own lines every now and then, and there's a specific line reading that happens when Naegi and Komaeda are meeting for the first time finally, that's like, it's something.
Hold on, give me a second.
Yeah, found Kirie it. Is drop. Pulling it up for
found it. I'm gonna drop the link, I'm gonna send it to you. Okay. All right, here we go.
Let me see. Let her rip. Let her rip, Kiri.
All right, and
Nagita Komaeda meets Makoto Naegi.
All right, on 3, 2, 1, we're gonna hit play so I can edit it into the pod. Ready?
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Let me get it to Jen. Hold on. There we go.
Okay.
Let me know.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
Mark. Hey! That wasn't the last mark of the season.
Hey, what do you know?
This one was.
5 million views on this thing, huh?
Dang it, Europa's super popular.
That's a million views a year.
Oh, there's the imposter, Ryota.
Sosa Samogus. There are some dudes. I hate how their haircuts look so similar.
Yeah. That's Mikan's voice.
Sounds like she sucked in helium and had a bad time.
Here we go.
Forgive me, sir. We share the same good luck. No, wait, that's not right. Yours far outstrips mine. Though I'm quite lucky to have you as a colleague. Sorry, upperclassmen, sir.
His hands were so soft is a good line.
Well, specifically one of them is like, why is his hand sticky?
Oh my god. No, I do like the gag of having, because you know you can only have your voice actor voice one character before it's sus, to just have, like, you know, the biggest weirdo show up and be like, oh, I'm a huge fan of you. Your voice, you are just like the perfect dude. And then, like, just gush and leave while the other character's going, ah.
It was quite funny when we were at a panel with Bryce Papenbrook, the like guy who voices Komaeda and Makoto, in which he talked about that experience of like, yeah, we could just sort of ad lib, and I came up with that one. And just the way he recreated, like, again, he could just do the voice on the at the drop of a hat, because that's what voice actors do. They're very talented. Nice guy, also super talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in terms of just character changes, I do love how Komaeda has gone from having a dead woman's arm stitched to his hand, to his forearm, to be like, okay, now I have a cool Terminator hand.
That makes a beep boop robot sound when it moves. Like, what are we doing?
He rocks.
Kind of rocks. Do you think, I think Soda built that hand for him.
You do get the return of Minimaru.
I think he stole it off the back of a truck. I think the hand was just kind of lying around.
As hands tend to do.
Oh my god. You can't walk 20 feet in this world without bumping into a mechanical hand.
Yeah, in this economy.
You do get the return of Minimaru in this.
What?
You know, it's so fucked up that this economy is just the mechanic. Like, every other industry is fucked, but the mechanical hand industry is booming. How many people lost their fucking hands?
Well, like, it was like the ultimate despair, so probably a few people lost their limbs.
Junko definitely sat down and was like, here's a video that makes you cut your hand off. Ha ha!
She just shows up the pilot to Full Metal Alchemist.
They do in-
Look how cool this guy is! Don't you want to be just like him?
They do imply-
Resurrect the dead, little man!
Bring your mom back, little man!
They do imply in Danganronpa 2 that Fuyuhiko, everyone's favorite little baby gangster, cut out his own eye because he was just that despair pilled.
Oh no, he did that. He's just got like a real bad pink eye.
Yeah, he still turns out his eye is like normal. It's just he's in recovery for pink.
his eye's normal. His vision's just not very. His vision's not like synced up. Like he's got one eye, one bad eye, one good eye. He wears the eye patch so that his bad eye can like catch up to the good eye.
Yeah, the one that's open is actually the bad eye.
Yeah, that's why you don't see him do all that much. Is because he's just like he barely knows where the fuck he is. He's walking around. And he's like, God damn it, everything's so goddamn blurry. Where are my glasses? Pecco, please. Pecco, carry me.
Pecco's wearing his glasses.
Yeah, Pecco's wearing his glasses. She's doing it as a fashion statement. She's out here.
Yeah, her eyesight's fine.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but she is serving cunt this entire series. Pecco Yama is like...
She's your favorite character.
I love mentally ill swordswoman. I'm sorry. It's like, if you take an extremely like sick woman and you give her a sword and you're like, okay, go fuck around. Go have your problems.
I love that, how she's like, even
treats for Jackie.
She's even more dangerous with a bamboo sword than she is with a real one.
Yeah.
So cool.
What'd you think about Chiaki's whole arc throughout the show? Like the way that they recontextualize it as like it wasn't just an AI construct. It was like the sheer force of her memory was the thing that brought her back in Danganronpa 2.
It's melodramatic. Didn't love it. I kind of like it.
I thought it was okay. I think the idea of like, because like Danganronpa flirts with this idea of like technology as magic, and I can get down with it. I can suspend my disbelief. So I did like when they were like, oh yeah, the AI was like trying to like. It was trying to come up with an
image of like someone that they would trust,
that everyone would trust. Yeah, like a face that everybody would trust, and like it was gonna generate. Like we had this whole program set up where we were just like AI generate a type of guy, but we didn't even need it because you all just picked the same person, and we were like, oh, okay, sure, we'll just personality construct this guy, and it's like, yeah, it turns out Chiaki fucking rocks.
I still like that because it's. It is a payoff to like the stuff that had been shown in the anime to this point of like, no, she like, I mean, we establish this like very early on that like her classmates really do like care about her a lot, But this, like, kind of helps solidify it. It's like, no, they just, like, loved her so much that it was, like, just the idea of someone that they can implicitly trust, they all had the same image. It's like, that's pretty good. It's good. I think that's good melodramatic storytelling.
It is a very strong use, I think, of a pre-established, like, setting dressing, you know? Like, you can't just pop that sort of shit up out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. And Danganronpa, like, and if Danganronpa did stuff like this more, it would be way better. It is just a good case of, like, Danganronpa knowing what they're working with, the Danganronpa team knowing what they're working with.
And they have to work,
like, applying that knowledge well.
Yeah, and they have to work with it because, like, the two game, like, makes her an AI, but she's such a popular character that you can't just, you know, make her not a character in the big follow-up anime, right? Like, she's too good of a character to do that. So it was like, okay, but we have to recontextualize this character who is an AI in this game, but we want to make sure that she's a real person because the Neo World program hasn't been invented yet. So we make her into, like, everybody's Oomphy. And it was like, that's great. That's, like, really deft usage of the materials that you have to play with.
Hey, Kiri, do you want to hear my biggest fear?
What's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear watching this finale was, you know that bit where, like, God, not Makoto. I keep forgetting his name.
Komaeda?
No, not Komaeda. The protagonist of Danganronpa 2, Hajime. Hajime. We spent a whole game with him. I can't remember his name. Hajime was on the boat, right?
Yeah, Hajime.
Yeah, and he looks over, and we see, Chiaki. My biggest fear was that, like, that was just going to be a robot body housing a recreated, like, AI facsimile. That would be, like, the most disgusting, like, dirty, foul shit to pull on us. Like, yeah. Well, it'd be like, oh yeah, you know, we pulled her AI from the data bank and we made her a real body and now she can be our friend forever.
That'd be
when
gross.
They resurrected Kyoko, I was like, I kind of thought that's how it was. I was like, okay, so, like, nothing is off the table.
But you do get the shot where they call Hinata over to join the rest of the gang, and they do the classic thing where he walks, like, he crosses past
her, and then she vanishes.
Yeah. Like, and she's already fading out, and then he walks past and she's gone. It's like, okay, that's good. Like, gosh, if only there was, like, a character for Makoto to lose that would also allow him to, like, actually be able to, you know, make the themes of this series resonate. Oh, wait, we need to bring Kyoko back. Fuck.
So, like, it would be really good. It's actually another thing about it. Like, if I had to rewrite the ending, it would be really good if, maybe Makoto and Hajime were, like, in the same physical space, like, kind of just meditating, chewing on what they have just gone through, and, like, kind of talking to themselves, not, like, saying anything, but, like, just thinking it through. But they're both fixed on the same point in space, mm-hmm. and in their heads they're talking to, you know, Chiaki and Kyoko, and then of course they both turn to leaving, they both get up off, like, I imagine, like, a bench or something they're sitting on, they both get up and then they walk away and, like, in their different directions, and we see that there was nobody standing there, they're both ghosts, or not ghosts, but, like, you know, both, like, you know, hopeful projections, right, of what they've gone through. Like, that would have been, like, that would have been also pretty good, but, like, mm-hmm. Now of course Kyoko's alive. She got the magical not dying drug. If only Mikan was like. If only Mikan had been here the whole time. Oh man, I love that not dying juice.
Also, what motivation would, like, the ultimate pharmacist have to, like, give Kyoko that drug in the first place? They barely interact.
Well, they were there to rescue folks, so it was in that context of just like, oh yeah, I saw someone who I could give the drug to.
No. they established that it was like, it was the chemist that, like, pharmacist, chemist, whatever, like, in the, in, as established by, like, Mikan is like, oh yeah, she made this drug that can help fight against the Bangle that, like, injects this poison, and she happens to give it to Kyoko, who just so happens to be able to get into a coma that would think that everybody, like, thinks she's dead, even though her eye becomes a... It feels like, that feels like a fucking corporate note, personally. I mean, yeah. I'm not gonna say it's beyond somehow Kodaka to, like, not permanently kill off a character, but I am gonna say that someone at NBC Universal was like, you cannot kill off the most, one of the most popular characters in the show, right? Like, that feels like the extreme backpedal of, like, you know, like a corporate mandate.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, definitely feels like they wanted to do something more ambitious, and then they got a memo. Little sticky note on the desk that was like, if you do this, I will kill you in real life.
I'm constantly forgetting that this is an NBC Universal show.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of is, like...
it feels, you know... Like, that. Like, that's the only explanation I can really come up with, because it's like, oh, it happens in the, like, last 30 seconds, and it's like... there to, like, in so many contrived things have to happen for it to work, because, like, I feel they're in production, they've already animated the scene where Kyoko dies and all these characters are having their big to-do about it, right? And it's like, well, we can't go back and do this work, so we gotta, like, have this scene of McKen explaining why Kyoko is still around, even though, again, they haven't done, like, a sequel series. Like, this is, like, it for the Hope's Peak, like, arc of...
Poochie survived on the way back to her home planet.
Poochie fucking survived on the way back to her home planet.
Poochie fucking survived. If you thought there were consequences for this character, don't worry, there aren't. You're good. Buy our merch!
Buy our merch!
Dangarama, baby! You know, it's fucked up that there isn't an equal opposite, like, 40-foot tall Kyoko guy in on the East Coast. Somebody should fix that. Somebody who maybe, like, the
one of us,
somebody who has inherited the rent fortune, right? Like, we got the son of the guy who wrote Grease on the West Coast. We should find, like, somebody who wrote, like, Rent or, like, the person, like, Slip Rent or Avenue Q or, like, some other, like, annoying play, and
what
that
if
made a kajillion dollars.
What if we slip Kyoko? We slip Andrew Lloyd Webber a Vita with Danganronpa.
We're gonna MK Ultra Andrew Lloyd Webber into being Kasadani. I said Kasadani Kyoko, but that's the dog from Toho. That's a different character.
That's a different character entirely.
Kirigiri Kyoko. Oh my god.
Kyoko fucking Andrew Lloyd Webber Kyoko stan.
Fucking Kirigiri Kyoko wife guy.
He writes another sequel to fucking Phantom of the Opera.
God.
I'm gonna rob the Sackler family so I can clean the Ibuki Miyota shrine.
God.
This is a joke on a podcast, FBI. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, FBI. We are all law-abiding citizens.
We're not going to MK Ultra.
I would never violate the government's sacred rules.
Of not MK Ultraing Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Even if I wanted to MK Ultra Andrew Lloyd Webber, like, it's not like I know that I can just, like, go across the street and get some LSD. It's not like I can just, like, you know... I know the code to his apartment isn't, like, 1162. Like, I know, like, I know he doesn't, like, you know, go to bed at, like, 10 and then have his cup of morning coffee, which I can easily dose with the LSD at 7 a.m. But, like, theoretically, if I knew all these things, I would still not MK Ultra Andrew Lloyd Webber into becoming a Kirigiri Kyoko wife guy. That's just unethical. I think I'm in trouble with the government.
Our federal agents outside my home. Any other thoughts on Danganronpa 3, the anime?
Yeah, before we incriminate ourselves further.
Yep.
We incriminated ourselves from the word go. We're on a Danganronpa podcast.
That's true.
Where did it all go wrong?
I think... I still largely enjoyed the anime. I think it has, like, some really good high points. On the tier list, like, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I think Danganronpa 1 is probably one of the best, like, of the, like, the trilogy. And it's like, I don't know, it's hard to do a tier list with, like, so many, like, with so few entries, but, yeah.
We could maybe put together a tier list either after we finish V3 or when we get to next episode's meet.
Right. I guess I could just say it about, like, some of the stuff we're going to do next episode. Two things. One, we're not
We're going to the Meadowland Xanadu.
We're going to the
We're going to commit terrorism at the Meadowland. No, we're not. We're not going to commit terrorism at the Meadowland Xanadu.
What if we go to the Meadowland Xanadu and record the final episode of UDR there?
We're just standing outside and fucking looking at everybody who looked like extras from The Sopranos, just walking around this fucking god, this place that God forgot, or at least tried real hard to forget.
Yeah,
this mistake of this, like,
this mistake of architecture,
pleasure dome, just fucking sitting there, modern. They put a Mr. Beast burger and it was so popular they had to call the cops. We're gonna go to the Meadowland Xanadu and we're gonna have a bad time, and we're gonna fucking talk about dang it. We're gonna fucking just grab people off the street and be like, hey, you heard about
Danganronpa? What do you think? But yeah, we're not quite done with the anime. There is an OVA. It's only like 20 minutes, but there is an OVA. We have someone who, listen, we know someone who translated the Danganronpa 2 stage play, and I want to check that out, at least, like, skim through it at the very least, because, like, holy moly, there's, like, a whole cottage industry in Japan of turning anything popular into stage plays, and, like, that seems like a wild thing to check out.
Yeah. Yeah, and once we're done...
It's kind of based.
It's kind of based, yeah.
Yeah, and once we're done with all that, we'll be getting to Danganronpa V3, which is...
It's like the final Danganronpa game.
Yeah,
it's the most Danganronpa it's ever been.
The most.
Yeah, it's the final Danganronpa.
That's like two more Dangs per romp in that game.
Mm-hmm. It's the final Danganronpa game until Spike Chunsoft have their way and get to, like, reboot the series, but
Danganronpa X4, where it's just four Danganronpa games going simultaneously.
You have to solve four murders in each.
You have to solve four
case.
Murders at once. You got one bullet. You better make that shot count. Fuck you.
Yeah, I will say it's going to be the most divisive thing we play or cover for this particular show, because.
You did an old novel, not new episode on this game.
Yeah, it has... Its tone, it just goes for the throat in terms of just being the most salacious and meme-y and just
cringe.
All over the place stuff. There's going to be Trump 2016 jokes in there.
Oh god, it's going to be cringe.
It's going to be kind of cringe, but also kind of... It's going to have some moments... I'm so excited.
I will say the only thing I know about Danganronpa 3 is that Danganronpa V3. The only thing I know about Danganronpa V3 is that, like, if you get, like, four people who have played through the Danganronpa series into a room and you're like, "Oh, what was Danganronpa V3 like?" You'll get, like, five different opinions, and a fifth person will spontaneously appear, and they will all kill each other over those opinions. You're just like, yep. This is a series that inspires violence, but this is like Danganronpa V3 is a game that inspires the most violence. I don't think I have heard of a game that is more controversial.
Yeah, just to confirm, you don't know what happens, right?
I have no clue what happens, but I know people hated it. Some people hated it and some people loved it. And since, I don't think I don't think I've ever heard anybody be like, I'm indifferent to the ending of Danganronpa V3. I think everybody has been like, the ending of Danganronpa V3 personally came to my house and like fucking went Itachi Uchiha on me. It fucking killed my whole family to test its abilities. And then another equally deranged person is like, oh yeah, Danganronpa V3, that ending is still jacking me off 7 years later. I wake up every morning and it's just like, I wake up, there's breakfast in bed, and I am like being made sweet love to by the Danganronpa V3 ending. I'm so happy. We have three beautiful baby boys named Thurston. It's Thurston, Thirst 2, and Thirst 3.
Well, until that happens.
Don't Jen, name your fucking son Thurston.
Please don't. That's a bad name. Jen, fucking plug.
Okay, so. You can find me on Twitter at GBU3. On co-host, I'm Jen-and-aster. And most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia.
Jackie.
You can find me at YourLizardFriend on the twitter.com. So long as that while that site is still inexplicably like up and existing, I'm also YourLizardFriend on Twitch and on itch.io, where I'm selling my tabletop role playing game. It's public playtest. It's
Mage Engine.
It's still in the works. We're still working on it, but we have not gotten much feedback, so I would like, you know, I am always looking for feedback, always looking for people to redo my stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's, I still think it's a heck of a thing, not just because, like, I helped, like, work on it. Like, I've read through, like, the finished thing of the open, like, playtest, and it's really something.
Yeah. I'm pretty proud of it.
You should be. It's a good thing. Like, it's a really well, like, seeing your process of writing the rules and the lore and everything that goes into it, like, it's deft. I really like it.
I like to believe that I am a good writer, and if you can prove me wrong, I will beat you to death with a hammer.
Well, till that happens. You can find me on Twitter, KiriaApage on Twitter.com, and also on ScanlineMedia.com, where we post this podcast and a bunch of other podcasts, but the Patreon is where you go to support us directly so that we can afford a trip to the Meadowlands Xanadu. It'd be a long car ride.
I love that it keeps coming up. I love that we just are in and on the... It's not even called the Meadowlands Xanadu anymore. I just love that it exists in the podcast lore.
I swear to God, I think, like, I was, like, driving to upstate New York, like, a while ago, and I saw, like, the Xanadu sign, and I started cracking up.
It makes me so mad. Honestly, it makes me so mad the way that, like, talking about this game on this podcast has just fucked my brain up with regards to it. Because, like, the entire ending of the show, I'm just like, where's the ostrich that Makoto beat up?
Yeah, we'll never get any closure on the bird
food. No closure on the bird wrestling. What's up with that?
He should have saw Mudokata, saw, like, I've wrestled birds bigger than you, and just body slam them.
he fucking pile drives that man to the ground. He's like, you are nothing compared to the giant heron. You are nothing. Just fucking Despair's final boss is just like the world's biggest rooster, and Makoto's like, I've been training my whole life for this.
Just make one of the Future Foundation members an ostrich wearing one of those visors, and
no, it's fucking Chicken Boo from, like, fucking Animaniacs.
It's a pirate with a parrot, and you think it's the pirate, but it's actually the parrot.
You see, I feel like during the wrestling match with Munakata, you just say, "I've wrestled guys with like longer necks than you," and it's like Munakata is like,
"You're hardly the longest neck I've wrestled." Munakata's like, "I don't know what that has to do with wrestling. What does it have to do with anything?" And then he gets fucking choke slammed. Okay. It's like, man, he really did just put me down like a bird. Why did I think that?
We gotta get out of here.
We need to leave before this chamber kills us.
Alright. Well, until the next episode, everybody, I've been Kyrie somehow, but managed to survive.
I've been Jennifer.
I'm so excited to go to the next death game. I've been Jackie.
Class I'll probably dismissed. Continue
to be Jackie, hopefully. Like, let's I hope. Don't really expect on like changing my entire identity anytime soon. There's Although, the bell. If I do need to go into hiding after performing some MKUltra crimes.
Good night, everybody.
Just some funny little Ted Kaczynski spawning maneuvers.
Breakthrough, the line between hope and despair is ever so vapor.